Day. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I want to talk to you about how to recover from a wounded spirit. Now, there is a scripture, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms. I think Psalm 77, if it starts with, I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto God, and I'm going to go with you here. Psalm 77. Yes, that's it. If you will look up at the top, if you have a reference Bible, it will be to the chief musician of Jeduthun, and it will be not a psalm of David. This is a psalm of Asaph. Say it with me, Asaph. It's not just a psalm of Asaph as a single psalm, but there are other psalms attributed to Asaph. Psalm 73 is attributed to Asaph. And I want you to be able to relate to Asaph back in that old covenant, because if I were to pick someone in the old covenant that would be similar to Peter in the New Testament, it would be Asaph. Amen? Because Asaph had some real issues with his faith and his walk with God. Amen? Someone said we love, respect, we revere Paul, or actually we revere Paul and respect Paul, but we love and relate to Simon Peter. Why do you think that is? Because Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. And Paul said when he went through things, how he weathered them was so powerful. He said, I was beaten with rods on 3 occasions. On 5 separate occasions, I was whipped with the scourge. Given 39 stripes. If they went beyond 39, people went into shock and died. And this whipping was not supposed to be a corporal punishment to kill somebody. It was just to be something to beat them within an inch. Have you ever heard that term? Beaten within an inch of their life. And Paul said, on 5 separate occasions, I was beaten that way. 195 stripes on his back that had accumulated. If you saw him from the back with his shirt off bathing his upper body, you would see scar tissue matted all across his back, beaten with rods 3 times, given 39 stripes of the Jews on 5 separate occasions. He said, I was shipwrecked 3 times. One time is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 27. But he said it happened 2 other times. That I'm going somewhere for God, and guess what? Shipwrecks. Have you ever started out for God and had any problems? Paul said, a great and effectual door is open to me at Ephesus of the Lord, and there are many adversaries. You want to know if you're in the will of God? How hard is the devil fighting you? Can you say amen? He fights what he fears, can you say? So if you expect God's doors to open and there be no adversity, then you don't understand your adversary, amen? He fights what he fears, and if a door is open to the Lord and you go walking through it, Paul said it's going to be effectual, amen? Since the door to radio opened, we've had some heavy battles to go through, because the devil knows if we pursue that, amen, God's going to use that to reach people where we would never, ever encounter them. Praise God. So we're determined to keep walking through the doors that God has opened. He said, I was in the deep for a day and a night. One of those shipwrecks, I was at sea. They just rescued some fishermen that were out in the water, according to the Tampa Tribune. 3 men clinging to an upside down boat, and they just rescued them. Paul said, I know what that's about. One of those shipwrecks, I had to hold on to something for a day and a night before rescue came. He said, I was stoned and left for dead. Remember the occasion that's recorded where they thought they had killed him by stoning, and the next day he was found preaching in another city. And scholars are really debate this a little bit. They don't know if he was unconscious to the point that they thought he was dead and he revived, or if he did die and God raised him from the dead. It's kind of that Jonah quandary. Did he die and God raised him from the dead in the fish's belly, or did he almost die? One thing is for sure, when he came out of the fish's belly, amen, he went to Nineveh and preached the gospel. Can you, amen, the good news of repentance to them, amen. And when Paul got, listen, if Paul had got discouraged in preaching, he would have never carried the gospel any further. All of this accumulative trouble would have weighed him down. Can you say amen? If you get in this thing for self-indulgent reasons, you won't weather those kind of storms and preach the gospel. If you get in it for the right reason, for the glory of God and the furthering of Christ's kingdom, you can weather those storms and still preach the gospel with victory. Amen. One of the things outstanding about Paul is he took all of those things together and he said, I was among false brethren. Isn't it amazing? He lumped that in when people break your heart. He lumped it in with the whippings. He lumped it in with the stoning. He lumped it right in because all this stuff was on his body and his body healed. But when a friend hurts you and turns against you and lets you down, it breaks your heart. And the scripture said something about that. It said the spirit of a man, that inward man, will sustain his weakness without, amen, his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Amen. Paul didn't have a wounded spirit. And you know what he said after all that stuff? And there's more to it. He said, yeah, absolutely. He said, these light afflictions. Everybody say light affliction. Honey, if one of us got the beating he got at that whipping post, we'd be whining about that until Jesus comes. Telling everybody we met what we went through. Showing them our scars. Can you say amen? You know what Paul said? Amen. Because my flesh and your flesh do love to whine. Can you say amen? Amen. It's common to all of us. When I hurt, I want to. If I hit my thumb outside and I'm going in to get a Band-Aid because it tore half my thumbnail off and it's all bloody looking. And you know what I want first thing for my Band-Aid? Honey, look what I did. I want some sympathy. Can you say amen? Somebody say, oh my Lord. That's right. Then we'll go get the Band-Aid. But I want somebody to sympathize with me. Amen? That's just common to the flesh. But Paul wasn't looking for sympathy. He was proclaiming victory. He said, and these light afflictions which are but for a moment. He saw, he was living for eternity. He wasn't just living for time. So he looked beyond anything going on in the present to the future and said, they work for us, not against us, but for us. A great eternal weight in heaven. He was living for time to live a self-indulgent life. He would have quit long before, but he never quit. And when he faced death as a martyr after all of that, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered up. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Can you say amen? Surely there's a crown laid up for me, and not for me only, but everybody who loves his appearing. There's victory in Jesus, no matter what happens down here. Everybody say, there's victory in Jesus. But if it ever gets to your spirit, if you ever get wounded in your heart, the Bible says you can be easily defeated. It won't take all of that to get to you. Then any little thing can get to you. And Asaph said in Psalm 73 that we're not going to read today, my feet were well nigh gone. They were almost slipped when I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I almost missed it till I went into the temple and then I understood their end. And he regained himself. He recovered himself. Well, Asaph here, can I put it in Kentucky terms? He was lower than a snake in a wagon rut. Amen? That's pretty low. The wagon rut makes a rut, and the snake's down in the rut. That's low. He was at the point that he couldn't pray. He was at the point that prayer seemed useless. He was at the point, as a covenant man, where he was so discouraged and disgusted that he said, just to talk about past victories is like putting salt in a wound. When I hear all these things that God used to do for his people, and I can't seem to get out of this place that I am in, and it doesn't seem like he's coming through for me. I can't even talk. I can't speak, which literally translated means I can't even pray. because prayer seems so useless. Why bother? Nothing changes when I pray. And to hear about the victories that God used to give is like pouring salt in the wound of my wounded spirit. I'm discouraged. You know, there's a pat answer that everybody gives to how are you? And you know how everybody you meet is?
Yeah.
I'm fine. No matter. But why do we say that? Because they really don't have 2 hours to sit down and listen to what is really going on. Can you say, man? I mean, what if someone asked you, well, how are you today? What if a cashier said, how are you today? And you said, are you ready to go on break? Are you about ready to take your lunch hour? Could you get a little more time? Ask the manager if he's got 2 hours to give you. Because if you really want to know how I am, it's going to take a little bit of time. Amen? One thing that all pro pastors does, and someday I'll ask Paul to come and minister to us. One thing we do, we don't tell each other every time we get together, we're fine. We tell each other what our needs are, what we're feeling, what we're experiencing. When we ask each other, how was your week? We either want somebody to say, oh, it was so victorious, this happened, that happened. Or boy, it was one of the worst weeks of my life, this happened and that happened. But let's be honest before God. God knows how we really are. Amen? And sometimes we are fine. But we're not fine all the time. Thank you for the hearty amen. Amen? Nobody's fine all the time. Paul wasn't fine all the time. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I'm going to be forthright with you to hear of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself, that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God brought us through. Make no mistake about it, Paul said. God in His grace brought us through. Amen. We didn't stand that tall and that strong. Our strength and spiritual stature was based on an understanding of how to appropriate grace in our life. Hallelujah. Well, Asaph is the Old Testament equivalent of Simon Peter, who had this great heart for God. He had these great highs and these tremendous lows, these great victories and these tremendous defeats. Everybody say Simon Peter. What a great high it was to sit in that upper room in that divine presence and eat that last supper with Jesus, and Jesus to talk about someone betraying him, and Peter to ease right up next in that beautiful atmosphere of love flowing and get up next to Jesus and said, yeah, they might. Yeah, you know, I'm not so sure about this one or that one or the other one, but I'll never do it. You can depend on me. You can count on me. And then Jesus turns to him and tells him something that he didn't want to accept about himself, his weaknesses. Can you say, Matt? He said, before the cock crows tomorrow, you will have denied me 3 times. And you know something? Everybody go like this. It just went right over his head. Yeah. Amen? He didn't pay a bit of attention to that. He was totally unprepared when it happened. Amen? He was in the process after they took Jesus like a lamb to the slaughter, and they felt like the same fate was waiting anybody affiliated, associated with him. Simon Peter denied him when a young woman said, you're one of those followers of Jesus. Your speech betrayeth thee. And he said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And then he swore with an oath. And I'm not talking about a four-letter word. This was even worse than just a slip and trying to be emphatic by using a curse word. For a Jew to swear an oath was really to break a covenant thing with God. You don't swear by he swore with an oath. He swore by his God while he lied. Amen? To save his own skin. I never knew him. He swore by God. You know, they used to do that in courtrooms. They would take a Bible because of the back. There was a time when this book was revered. Yeah. Amen. And this God was revered. And if you wanted a man to tell the truth, you get him to the holiest. You don't just threaten him with perjury. Amen. Let him know God is listening. if he's got any conscience at all, if this book still had relevance to anyone. Amen. Do you swear to tell the truth? And what did they hold out? The Bible. For a Jew to swear by his God was way beyond, amen, perjuring oneself. Remember when they lied to the Holy Ghost, Ananias and Sapphira? Said, you're not lying to men. This is not about Peter or spiritual leadership. This is about God. Can you say amen? Peter swore with an oath and said, I never knew him. Never knew him. The next morning, he warms himself at a fire, bewildered, lower than a snake in a wagon rut. He's bewildered. He's befuddled. He's disillusioned. He's disappointed. He's discouraged. Jesus looks helpless in the hands of men. All of that power is now seeming to be nowhere. As a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. Can you say amen? And now here stands Peter thinking, what is going to become of me now? If Jesus is in that kind of fix, what will they do to me? If Jesus is in their hands, what will they do to me? He said, I don't know him. I don't know him. I do not. He swore with an oath and said, I do not know him. I swear by my God, I do not know him. The I'm fine attitude will disqualify you unless you are truly fine. Amen? That's why preachers fail. Jimmy Swaggart, who failed on two occasions, and thank God for what he's doing now, and thank God for his recovery, and thank God for God's forgiveness. But Jimmy Swaggart said, I had good men around me that I could have talked to that would have helped me, but I didn't go to any of them to tell them about my issue, my problem. See, I'm fine is how we appear, even when we're not. In other words, the exposure didn't have to happen. Let me tell you something about God. At the expense of his own reputation, the reputation of ministry, God will reveal what's wrong sooner or later. He'll bring it to light. Why? Because he loves that person too much to let the devil defeat them and destroy them. He knows if they repent, he can restore them and help them. But if they do not repent, they're beyond his reach. Can you say amen? And he loves them too much to let them continue in that downward spiral. And he'll bring it to light to achieve repentance for one person at the expense of the hurt to the gospel, because the gospel will survive. God is still on the throne. Can you say amen? People can use the failure of ministers all they want to, but the man we preach never fails. Can you say amen? We do not preach ourselves, Paul said, but we preach Jesus Christ and ourselves, your servant, for his sake. Can you say amen? You can blame preachers and churches all day long. The preacher didn't die for you. The church didn't hang on the cross for you. Jesus did. And he did not fail. He cannot fail. He will not fail. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, my friend, is alive and well. Praise God, and he's saving today, just like he used to save, delivering today, healing today, helping today. Hallelujah! And we're supposed to have a preacher that tells us, look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. And if you're discouraged today, you took your eyes off of him and started looking at them. No wonder you're discouraged. They can mess up and do. He doesn't. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank God Jesus doesn't fail. Boy, there's so much to teach and so little time here. We're just trying to warm up to this, but I want you to know Asaph had issues. Asaph had faith issues, temptation issues. He cries unto God and he lets it all out and he tells it just like it is. I remember going through nervous exhaustion. I got out under a tree down by the river. I used to love to get away from people and things and just try to focus on the Lord. And I just looked up to heaven and I thought, Lord, I mean, I got to have help now. It's been too long. I've been crying too long and nothing's happening. See, I learned a cliche that became a reality. It sounded like a Christian cliche, but it became a reality. God's delays are not his denial. Everybody say it. God's delay is not his denial. Amen. God is not going to change his schedule because of our impatience. Say that with me. God will not change his schedule for our impatience. I see children today that are so impatient. I see them in Walmart throwing a hissy fit because they want that toy right now. I remember my children, we would go into Kmart and we're walking around and pay. You know, payday comes when payday comes, and you got to wait till payday to have certain things. You know what I'm saying? And you get down near the end before the next payday, you're down. You know, you eat a steak on a payday, and you're eating peanut butter and jelly down waiting on the next payday. Amen. So we're down to the peanut butter and jelly stage. You know, not really, but chuck steak instead of T-bone. Anyway, we're walking around. We're walking through Kmart, and my son, he's looking over to the toy department. We can't buy a toy. There's no point going in that direction. We're going to go get these batteries we need. We're out of here. We're not going to the toy department. He's pulling like this, and I'm going straight down the aisle, and he's pulling. And finally, I said, we can't get any toys today. He said, but Daddy, I want to go look. I said, even if you see it, we can't buy it. We don't have the money. He looked at me like, he said, well, write a check. That's what you do when you don't have money. Just write it. Write that piece of paper. Can you say, man, you don't need dollar bills. I said, son, you just don't get it. And he didn't get it. Can you say, man? Because we didn't have any money. That check would have bounced like a rubber ball. Amen. We can't have that. Listen to me. Amen. Impatience. Impatience. Satan will try to discourage you while you're waiting. See, they that wait upon the Lord are not supposed to be impatient and doubting. We're supposed to be trusting and resting in the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, what happens? Amen. Listen, the Bible said there's a place in life that even a young man can run and get so weary in, that his own strength can come to a limit and come to an end. Even young men will run and faint after a while. Amen? But they that wait upon the Lord, what an encouragement. They that wait upon the Lord. Now, waiting doesn't just mean like waiting in a waiting room in a doctor's office. You know, we used to sing that song, when the Lord gets ready, you got to move, you got to move, you got to move. Well, it's not that kind of waiting. I looked up that word wait in the Hebrew. You know what it means? It means to bind together by twisting. Everybody say, to bind together by twisting. What an unusual word, huh? It doesn't mean to just sit complacently, well, if the Lord wants to bless me, he will. No, that's not any use of faith. But to absolutely be so committed to trusting God and walking with God and looking to God, that your faith and his faithfulness become intertwined. Everybody say, my faith in his faithfulness become intertwined. And a triple-stranded cord is not easily broken. Can you say amen? Why? Because from what I understand, and I don't have the mathematical stuff, but I always look at him, but what's your major? Math. All right. Boy, I'd love to catch him on something. I just can't catch him, amen, on anything. He's too good. He's got a... Let's hear your degrees. Come on. It won't be proud. You got degree. He's got degrees in mathematics. I'm sorry? Master of Education. I knew it. The Master of Education. Can you... He's not just an educator. He's a Master of Education. Amen. And hallelujah. Some people become kung fu masters. He became the master of education. Amen. And it's done him well and served him well. And it's serving others right now. God's using him. Listen to me. We know how to keep him humble. Yeah, we bring him down here. We bring him way down. Keep him walking in humility. Can you say amen? I don't know the math to it, but I know when you bind three cords together, it doesn't just triple the strength. Amen. It goes into multiplying the strength. Can you say amen? His faithfulness and our faith in his faithfulness, and then the power of his person and presence in our life. A triple-stranded cord is not easily broken. That's why they that wait bind together by twisting. Can you say amen? Are you beginning to see it? His presence, His faithfulness, amen, and our faith in His faithfulness, amen. A triple-stranded cord is not easily broken, amen. They that wait upon the Lord, it's not easily broken when it's in that sense. Can you say amen? I'm going to seek Your presence. I'm going to dwell in Your presence. I'm going to live in Your presence while I'm waiting. Can you say amen? I'm actively pursuing Your presence while I'm waiting for the answer. I don't just have a promise on a refrigerator. Can you say amen? I have a relationship with You. Yeah. Hallelujah! We used to sing that song, I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. Can you say amen? Somebody say glory. Oh, I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. And as long as it takes, I can wait upon the Lord. Whoa! They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as an eagle. I got to stop here. Everybody that's... Don't slap anybody next to you, but can you? That's what we see. That's what we see when we see mount up. We see us becoming so strong, so mighty in the Word, so powerful in faith, that we actually sprout eagle's wings and we become soaring saints. How we love to think of ourselves as the mighty eagle saints. Amen. We fly the heights. Oh, yes. I'm going to tell you something, eagle saint. Everywhere you find a reference to how God is dealing with Israel, lifting her up out of her sin, her trouble, her backslidings, it says, in the weakness, in the total inability of that nation to deliver theirself, because of God's mercy, thou shalt be born upon eagle's wings. He carries you. Everybody say, He carries me. I wished I had come up with the poem Footprints, because I wouldn't have to worry financially for the rest of my life because it sold so many things. It's still selling. I've seen it so many times, I don't really read it anymore, but I've lived it. I've lived it. Why is Footprints so significant? Of all the nice scriptural, biblical-based stuff out there, because it speaks to us when we go through valleys. Can you say amen? Because there are times we wonder, where is God in this circumstance? Where was God when I was going through that? And the question marks appear over our head and say, where was God? When I needed Him most, He didn't seem to be there. Where was He? If you went through one of those kind of fiery trials. And you know the story of Footprints. You know, I'm walking along the beach. He said He'd never leave me nor forget me. And I'm walking along, trudging along in life. And I've just about come to the end of myself. And I just wish God would get down here and take care of some things. I'm like that little boy that prayed. He said, Mama. He got down by his bed and he prayed. And he said, Lord, Uncle Ben still hadn't found a wife, and Aunt Sally still hadn't found a job, and Mommy still has the gout, and oh God, I'm so tired of praying for this family and nothing happening. Amen. One thing about the kid, he was honest. Can you say amen? He wasn't fine, and he was letting God know about it. There it is. There's Footprints. Amen. I couldn't see it unless God heals my eyes right now, but so I'll just ad lib it. Hallelujah. Amen. He's walking. Thank you, though, for the footprint. He's walking along. You can see him trudging and complaining. And he says, you know, he said, I just stopped for a minute and I look. He said, He'd never leave me nor forsake me. Hey! Hey! Oi! I only see one set of footprints here. You said You'd never leave me. And of course God says, you know why I only see one set of footprints, old hoss? Doesn't it say old hoss on there? I think it does. On your copy? You don't think so? We put it in there and we'll sell it again and make money from the people out in Arizona. Amen. He says, you know why there's only one set of footprints? Because what you don't realize is happening right now. Because I'm carrying you. Can you say, I'm carrying you? I'm carrying you. Thou shalt be born upon eagle's wings. See, every Christian wants to grow your own wings. So you can become what? Self-sufficient in faith. God never designed faith to make you self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency is the underlying condition of all sin. It's operating independent from God. And there are people out there teaching a faith level that actually makes you more independent. Dependent on your faith. Your ability to stand and do everything perfectly than to trust exclusively in the Lord. And yet he says, both old and new covenant, that it's in man's weakness acknowledged and his trust exclusively in God that real strength comes. Can you say amen? It's the admission. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I'm not going to hide this. We went through it to the point that we had no strength left. We were pressed beyond measure. We wish God would just let us drop dead and take us home. But we learned in that deep valley not to trust in ourselves. You know how you learn that lesson? Oh, yeah, we buy Venable's tape. No. The tape will help you when God takes you to school. To understand that you're in school. Can you say amen? Where's school, Brother Venable, when you go through your valley and you come to an end of yourself and you find out that that tape set that cost you $124 of how to order, how to master your own fate, have whatever you desire, amen, that God didn't write that. It's when you don't get your way. It's when you don't have your say. It's when things don't work out the way you wanted. It works out the way He wills. And your will and His will come into conflict and you defer. And say, not my will, but thine be done. I stood down beneath that oak tree and I was so frustrated. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. My nerves were shot. The harder I prayed, the more frustrated I became. I was Asaph for a while. Asaph didn't even stay in that wagon rut, praise God, but he learned some things down in there. I picked up a rock, and I said, Lord, please listen to me. I wanted to, if there's windows in heaven, I wanted to break one. Get his attention. I prayed, nobody's listening. I've knocked and nobody answered. I rung the doorbell and nobody came to the door, it seems like. So I wanted to throw a rock through the window. You know, generally speaking, if they're home, that'll get their attention. Amen? So I picked up this rock and I just, no disrespect to God, I just wanted him to look down here. See how desperate I am. And I threw it up. He come down and almost bonked me on the head. Amen? And then I just thought, What can I do? I can't stomp my foot and make it happen. I can't rebuke the devil and make it happen. I can't stand on my faith and make it happen. I can't go get in a gospel meeting and have hands laid on me through the super anointed and make it happen. This is my trial, my schooling. And I had to stop all that nonsense and get wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. Hallelujah. And I came to a place Job was that would have been called a negative or a bad confession. We're supposed to see if Job just had some tapes of some preachers today, he would have been fine. Can you say, man, I heard one of them say, Paul didn't have to go through those things I read off to you. Oh, yes, he did. Because the Bible said it was God's will. Amen. There is given to me of the Lord an emissary from Satan to buffet me. He took down the hedge like he did with Job. He let him go so far, lest what? Lest what? Lest I become independent from him, proud, boastful. Through the many revelations that I received of him. You watch it happening to people all the time because they refuse trials. They reject self-denial. They embrace self-indulgence. God is not going to help your flesh survive. He will, however, help it be crucified. And how does He do that? By letting you come to an end of yourself. Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice. Three times I said, move this hindrance. Move this mountain. Heaven is silent. Not because God didn't answer. God did answer. He didn't like the answer that God gave him. You said, I've been praying and praying. God won't answer my prayer. Yeah, He did. He either said yes, or He said no. See, there's two areas people don't want to receive from the Lord. No and wait. Neither one of them are acceptable. Amen? What happens when God says no? No! You think He has the right to say no to anything we pray for? Oh, but I want this for His glory. Then if He says no, it don't matter. For His glory anyway. Right? Amen? Oh, but I want this for souls. He knows how to win souls. He knows who to send. Amen? I want to be a worldwide evangelist. Well, good for you. That's a good, honorable goal. But you better ask the Lord of the harvest where He wants you to go. Some people got their eyes on the world and can't see the people they interact with every day. You end up not winning anybody to Jesus. Amen? What a sad state of affairs that becomes. He either says yes, no. He told Paul no. How did he say no? By not answering. And Paul just got quiet and still wait before the Lord. I'm not going to turn you loose. I may not understand what's going on, but I will never turn you loose. I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. I'm waiting upon the Lord. He heard that voice within saying, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul begins to get it. Talk about spiritual maturity. It's when you start getting it. Yeah. I'm going through this to keep me from depending on my flesh. Yeah. Because of the what? The many revelations that I've received. Amen? It's hard for the flesh to handle when God uses you mightily. That's why the Bible said, how are the mighty fallen? How could they fall? Because when you operate independent from God, you're in jeopardy. For when a man says, behold, I stand, he better take heed lest he fall. I'm watching people in precarious positions right now. People I know and love that are announcing their strength instead of bragging on their God. Proclaiming their ability instead of His faithfulness and mercy. Honey, they're headed for a fall. They haven't learned the lesson. I want to learn the lesson. Can you say amen? Praise God. And I found out that my faith and my personal walk with God was totally separate from the anointing to preach and pray for others. It was individual. It was personal. And God took me through, not from, the trial. He took me through it. And believe me, if I had my way, I would not have went through it. Amen. The Bible said, don't always try to squirm out of your trials. Everybody say, squirm out. I always, my tendency of my flesh is to get out of it. Amen? Amen? And we want a gospel that tells us how to manipulate life to our liking, to smooth out the rough places. I love the prophet's attitude in the Old Testament. Said, he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He's going to change me, not the grade that I'm on. Oh, you didn't hear me. He's going to change me. I'm on a steep grade. And guess what? He's going to make my feet capable of walking up that steep grade. He's not going to level it out and make it easy, but He's going to make me adequate for it. I can make progress in places I would have never dreamed of trying to scale. Because He's changing me. Hallelujah. Praise God. God wants to change us. If the storm doesn't stop without, He will immediately speak to the storm it's created within. And when you have peace within, you can keep on keeping on. And let the wind blow. Let the rain come. Let the flood tides rise. Amen. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I would have never found the cleft in the rock if it hadn't been for the valleys. Hallelujah. God loves you. By the way, He don't lump us all into the same lump. He knows where you are spiritually. He knows what He wants to accomplish within you. He knows what you can take and what you can bear. More than we do. Dennis, give me Novocaine. And he says, and he takes that little thing and presses on there and says, do you feel that? I always say, mm-hmm. So do. Give me some more. I don't want to take no chances. I didn't actually feel pain, but I can feel that little dewapper. He said, we might need, give me another shot. What? Give me two of them. Come on, I'm paying you well for this. Come on, don't be stingy with that painkiller. Hey, and while you're at it, give me some of that laughing gas. They give me both. Keep me still. And then he goes to work and you press your head back in that chair. You know it don't go back any further, but you press anyway. Amen. You're trying to get away from it. It ain't nowhere to go, but you find yourself pushing as if you could pull back. Well, he can't do it if you keep going back. He's got to do it. You just got to stop and let him do it. You know, at some point in our life, we got to stop and let him do it. And get it over with, for heaven's sakes. Amen. Let him pull us through. Listen, no trial, no temptation has taken you. No trial. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you as if you are unique. Can you say amen? As some strange thing has happened unto you. Amen. No, join the club. Welcome to my world. Can you say amen? Join the crowd. Believe it or not, this is all of us experience these things. All of us experience heartbreak. All of us experience heartache. All of us have been discouraged at some point. And every preacher that stands in the pulpit too. They might not be telling you like Paul did. But believe me, if you lived with him, if you were the wife or the children, you'd see those people when they go through their trials. And when they're honest, sometimes they let it slip that it's not all as easy and as cut and dried and formulaed as they present it. There are times you have to just wait upon the Lord in order to be born up on eagle's wings. Can you say amen? Thou shalt mount up with wings as an eagle. You don't become an eagle, but God carries you as if you were. Hallelujah. You know what the, they do? This is actually to teach eagles to fly. God don't want to teach you to fly. He wants to teach you how to rest in Him and come to a place of faith where you can wait upon Him. The young eagle don't want to get out of the nest. That nest is high up on a rock and high up on the highest peak of that rock. And the young eagle is being fed every day. You remember when you were a brand new Christian and you just go to church and you just eat the good things of the Lord and life is smooth and God just kind of got you nestled in a downy little world? Amen. Soft and cuddly. Holy Ghost, He's the comforter. I just waps myself up in my comforter. He's my holy wooby. Can you say amen? Got my holy wooby wrapped around me and the devil, he can't hurt me. Then all of a sudden He takes that away from you. You know, have you ever seen a 12-year-old with a pacifier? I have seen one time. It wasn't a pretty sight. I don't know why they didn't ever, maybe there was some kind of mental problem, but the point was, it wasn't right. It isn't right. Amen? 16-year-old with a bottle, with a nipple, it ain't right. Something's supposed to change along the way. Can you say, man, the church with a pacifier, it ain't right. So God begins to move like the mama eagle. And the mama eagle begins to pull out the down. He pulls out all of those things. All of that warm coziness is gone. And not only that, but they said, well, you know, we ain't leaving the cozy place. So the eagle goes out and gets sticky stuff. It's over there and starts sticking these briars and stuff into the net. Baby eagle wants to sit down. Whoa! Baby eagle wants to lay over. Ow! Baby eagle can't find nowhere to stand, nowhere to lay without getting pricked with something. Boy, I wish God would get on the ball and straighten this thing out. I've been rebuking devils and fasting and praying. Oh, I'm so God can't find rest nowhere. And then they finally have to get up on the side of the nest to get out of all of that. And they're looking down, way down yonder. And you know what she does then? She comes up and you know what you hear if you could hear them? They're falling. Screaming, falling. And you know what she does? She waits. But just before they splatter, she swoops down under them. And they land on her back. And she flies up, flies them to the heights. And they're saying, whoa, whoa. We flying now, we flying. And you know what she does? The difference in the eagle and us, they find out they got wings. They don't need, listen, they don't need, see, here, you've got to draw the line, the difference. Not an exact parallel. They got wings. They discover I can soar. I don't need mama anymore. They are becoming independent for their survival. We don't. We have to stay dependent for our survival. So the next time you read mount up with wings as eagles, don't do this, because that's not where it's at. It's God swooping down, picking you up, and carrying you. Can you say, man? There's a scripture in the book of Isaiah. He said unto ancient Israel, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Uphold thee. When I first saw it, I thought about, and this would be great, that I'm stooped, I'm bowed, I'm weakened by circumstance, and Jesus comes along by my side, and he puts his arm under my arm, and he upholds me. And together, we're able to make it. No, that is not the word. The word in the Hebrew is very precise and specific. It means to pick up. Uphold means to pick up from the earth. It means to pick up from the earth. He's not adding his strength to what little strength you got left, because there's still a weak, something weak there. You know what it is? Your strength. He's not blending his strength with your strength. But he that hath no might can't even stand up. He picks up. You're not hearing me today. Come on, I know you want to sprout wings. But God didn't design you to be independent from Him. He designed you to be totally dependent on Him. And that's why Paul said, when I am weak, then am I made strong. Can you say amen? So with the mighty way that God used Paul, he said, why look upon us, as we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why he wrote 13 of the 27 books and called all of his trials light afflictions. Amen. Where are you in life? Have you found out that the little formulas don't work? Have you found out yet that God is still faithful? Who will not allow you to be tempted above that, that you are able to bear with His help and grace? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to keep pushing back. I want the grace sufficient. Everybody say grace sufficient. And then I want him to do his work. Amen? Amen? Because I don't want to be one of those people that one day I'm way up here and the next day I'm disappointed, disillusioned, discouraged to the point that I can't represent his kingdom. because he's taking me through something I don't understand, and like a spoiled child, if I don't get my way, if my faith don't make everything work the way I want or I believe, I don't want that. I want his will more than my way. Yes. Say, Brother Rumble, I wanted, that job. I needed the money. God could care less about you wanting more money. Thank you for the hearty amen. Oh, but look what I can do for his kingdom. Yeah, tell me about it. Some people, it's harder to give the more they make. Isn't it easier to tithe the $10 bill? And I'm not using the tithe, the Old Testament. I'm talking about systematic giving. Somebody came to me one time, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I said, if somebody came to me and said, what does the scripture say in the New Covenant? I'd say it would teach systematic giving. Everybody say systematic giving. Is that not a New Testament concept? You put aside what you're going to give. Set it aside. That holy unto the Lord stuff is still going on. Can you say amen? All right, set it aside. If someone came and said, how much should I set aside? Well, God set a precedent. I believe they used that formula because God set the precedent. I think it's one of the greatest deals in all the Bible. A dime out of a dollar. But listen to the flesh. This is so, kids are so honest. Back when a nickel was a nickel, it's a long time ago. Little girl had two nickels. One for her for after church to get her some candy. And one to put in the Sunday school offering. Two nickels. She's got them in both hands. She's thinking about that candy. As soon as I'm out of church, I go to the candy store, get me a nickel bag of candy. I actually went to a place called Jolly Corners when I was 5, 6 years old. My daddy gave me a nickel. I'd get me a bag of candy. Ooh, a bag of candy for a nickel, 2 for a penny, 10 pieces of candy in that little brown bag. And so she's thinking about her candy. She's walking along, and suddenly a dog came up behind her and barked, and she went like that. And one of the nickels come out of her hand, rolled down the sidewalk into a storm drain. And she said, oh, no, there goes the Lord's nickel. Amen. That the Lord's nickel. I put mine in this hand. See, I still got my nickel. Too bad, Lord. Dime out of a dollar. Piece of cake. 10,000 out of 100,000. Ooh. Still a dime out of a dollar. But that's different. Oh, that's way different. That the Lord's nickel done went down the drain. This is not legal stuff. This is not law. This is what's it worth. What's it worth? What's it worth? What's it? What's all this worth? What's the kingdom really worth? We say it's worth everything. Amen? Everything! What's the soul's worth? Dime out of a dollar? If it's worth less than that, there's something wrong. Most New Covenant teachers say it ought to be even more than that. What's happening in your life right now worth? What's it worth? What is spiritual enlightenment, spiritual instruction? What's it worth to your soul? Is it worth having a preacher? Amen? Is it worth it? You think it's worth it? You say, Brother, I can get this on TV. No, you can't. They're not going to tell you how to go through trials. They're going to tell you how to get out of them. They're not going to teach you how to have self-denial, make more room for God in your life so you can really be fulfilled. They're going to teach you self-indulgence, how to get more things that will never fulfill you. If you're not happy with Jesus where you are, no matter where you go, you are not going to be happy. Thank you for the hearty amen. Amen. If you're not happy with the mate you have, if you get another one, you're not going to be happy. Do somebody a favor. Don't do it. Let's get back to this. So many people trying to get out of everything. Amen. Just find a loophole somewhere. W.C. Fields, just before he died, he was reading the Bible. That great comic of old, he's sitting reading the Bible. But he kept his sense of humor, but he was serious about what was about to happen. He's about to die, and suddenly this book becomes relevant to people when they're about to die. Amen? And he's thumbing through it, and a guy comes in and says, W.C., what's that in your hand? What are you reading? He said, is that the Bible? He looked up and he said, yeah, I'm looking for loopholes. I'm going to tell you something. There's no loopholes. We're dealing with God here. Not some preacher that you hire and fire. And can you say amen? Amen. This is God's word. I want it given to me like it's written. Because I answer to Him. Amen. And I want to be able to answer to Him. Because I'm going to stand before Him. And here's a news flash. So are you. You will stand before God. Amen. And the Bible said He's the judge of the quick and the dead. The living and the dead. Amen. And I want to be able to stand before Him and know that I'm not purposely violating His word and walking in rebellion to Him. Praise God. Amen. Well, I want to be able to go through trials and be born up with eagle's wings. Yes. Amen. I want to walk in a victory that is God-given. Yes. Praise the Lord. To where He is exalted and He gets the praise and He gets the honor and He gets all of the glory. How many want to walk in that today? Okay, are you ready to get into this Bible study? Not now. Amen. But are you ready to get into this book and find out how to recover even when you're not fine? Praise God. What to do to come up out of that wagon rut. Praise God and walk in victory and give Him glory. I've got great confidence in God. I don't have confidence in people. Not that I don't love you guys, but your flesh. Newsflash. You still got flesh to deal with. You could love me one day and be stomping mad at me the next day over some perceived something or another. You are capable of talking about your past. Oh, I'd like a better amen. Don't make me go any further and delve into this. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm capable of talking about you. Amen. I don't want to. I hope I never do. I hope I just lift you up before the Lord. Hallelujah. But we're capable of criticizing one another, hurting one another, letting each other, disappointing one another. But God wants us to come together in love and honesty, trust in Him, love each other. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but that's good to building up. Because all the rest of it is just, it's just useless stuff anyway. Amen. How many want to be born up on eagle's wings? Amen. Hallelujah. Then wait upon the Lord. Pursue Him in the midst of your trial. Don't just pursue an answer. You don't get wrapped up and tangled up in the Lord by just pursuing the answer by faith. Pursue the Lord. Can you say amen? Get tangled up in the healer. Healing will flow. Get wrapped up in the deliverer. Deliverance will come. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And you will not be easily separated. That means that discouragement will not keep you from pushing past your emotions and your flesh and trusting God anyhow. I love you today. I believe this church is being brought to a place spiritually where we're going to have a genuine, authentic testimony that God is coming through and delivering us in every circumstance of our life because we're learning to wait upon the Lord. Can you say amen? And in the process, we're being born up on eagle's wings. And you're not going to fail because it's His wings. Can you say amen? It's His faith. It's His faith. The armor's His righteousness. His word. His faith, it's all His. Because if it's yours, you're sunk. Because it will shake under certain circumstances. Amen? Amen. You say, well, I listened to Brother So-and-so's tape. Well, I suggest you get rid of it as quick as you can possibly dump it. Amen? Because if it was working for you, you wouldn't be here nodding at me this morning. Can you say amen? Amen. You'd be wanting to straighten me out, and you can't. I'm too far gone. I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up. In Jesus. You can't point me to your preacher. Can you say amen? Your teacher. Your televangelist. Can you say amen? Your tape. Your book that somebody wrote. Amen. I'm also wrapped up, tangled up, tied up in this right here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. A lot of these new fads are going to pass away. New age preaching is going to pass away. This right here is going to abide forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Up until now, the Lord has been our help, our deliverer, praise God. He's brought us through everything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's delivered us from the snare of the fowler, and He's broke the snare. Hallelujah. Wow. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He's healed leukemia. He's healed prostate cancer in my dad. He healed my son's liver, destroyed by 28 years of acute alcoholism. God is on the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Delivered me from nervous exhaustion. Delivered my wife. Hallelujah. So I'm not looking for the new thing. I'm not looking for somebody's flashy formula. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to be 64 in January. But I feel something. I feel a wheel within a wheel. I've never been pregnant. What a surprise. I have never been pregnant. But I remember when my wife was pregnant, she used those bobby pins. She'd have those bobby pins sitting on that on her belly. And old Rumble Rump would kick. And bobby pins would just go flying. Amen. Well, I've never been pregnant. I've never felt what it's like to have life moving around on the inside of you physically. But I feel it spiritually today. I feel life, brother, kicking around down on the inside of me. And guess what? Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Can you say amen? Brother Taylor, I know what it feels like spiritually. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. We're not just having a biblical debate here. Life is flowing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? Glory to God. Let it rain. Let it rain. I feel. Hallelujah. In the midst of the drought, in the midst of 3 years, and the heavens are cold, and there's not a cloud in the sky, and there's a famine like the world had never seen in the land. The prophet gets up one morning and says, before he sees anything, I feel something. Can you say amen? I feel something. I feel the abundance of rain. No clouds in the sky. So he sends his servant. Go take a look. Go run where you can look out over the horizon and tell me what you see. He comes back and says, I don't see anything. Doesn't change what I feel. Can you say amen? Something within me is telling me that God's ready to change this thing. God's ready to change this circumstance. God's ready to show mercy to Israel. Can you say amen? You better go look again. He goes and looks again and says, Master, I looked as far as my eye could see. There's not a cloud in the sky. He said, go look again, son. I feel this thing. And he looked again and again and again and again and again. And then he said, go look again. And he goes, looks, and he says, oh, that's strange. It's a little bit of cloud. It's funny shape, too, because it looks like a man's hand. Can you say amen? He came back and said, Master, there's just a little cloud up there, but kind of shaped like a man's hand. He said, you better tell Ahab to get everything out of the lowland. You better get the cattle to higher ground. Can you say amen? So the guy jumped in a chariot, took off pell-mell. That's not a cigarette. Amen. That's how he traveled fast. Can you say amen? He took off running with the chariot wide open. Prophet, feeling this thing strong now. Can you say amen? He said, remember that song, You Can't Tell It Like I Can Tell It? What he's done for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So the prophet decides, I got to tell him myself. And he took off running. Now here's a guy on a chariot. And here's a prophet running. Amen. Am I reading the Bible correctly? Am I reminiscing it right? That he ran up and passed the chariot of horses? Can you say amen? Everybody say, that's got to be the anointing. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. When it's this kind of news. Amen. When it's this exciting. Amen. That God wants to break through. Do something real and genuine to bring a spiritual deliverance to his people. They that wait upon the Lord are getting ready to mount up on eagle's wings. Can you say, man, I feel that today. Let's sing this.